Well, it is good to be here this evening with you all. I'd like to thank you for your warm welcome for us all. Before I begin, I would like you to turn to a passage of Scripture which is found in Isaiah, book of Isaiah, chapter 46. I'd like to read some verses to you from there. Isaiah chapter 46. We begin from verse 5. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him, and set him in his place. And he standeth from his place, shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yea, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. In this passage we have seen how man, by his own imagination, makes engineers his own way of worshiping God, and we see how he makes out of gold gods for himself, idols to worship. And this has been my own experience in the times past, from when I was very, very young. From the time that I was born, I was brought up in a country, as you have heard, Iran, its name is. It used to be known as Persia. We read in the Bible of the Persian Empire. We read of it in different places. Book of Esther, Book of Ezra, many, many places. Book of Daniel. And we see that as the name of it is Persia. It is found in the Middle East, and I am sure you have seen it in the newspapers and in the news. You've heard it on the radio with the past wars and all the situation there at the moment in the Middle East. So I'm sure that you know whereabouts it is. But as I said, the book of Esther shows that Esther was our Jewish queen. You can still go to places where she was. And there is a place where they say that Mordecai and Esther, they are placed there. Their tombs are found there. There is also Daniel. You can go to a place east of Iran, you see, you can go to his tomb. They have made a big mosque out of it. But because the Muslims have respect for Daniel as being a prophet of God, but they don't heed to his warnings and to his words, but they have some respect to it. And there are many Jews who are found there who they claim that they remain since the time of Esther, since the time of captivity, and they never went back to their land of origin and to Israel. But my early life, I was raised in a country where it is an Islamic country, Islamic Republic. They would be more fanatical and more religious, I have to say, but there are a number of people who are known as Zoroastrians. Before Islam came into the country, from the time of Cyrus, the religion, the established religion, was Zoroastrianism. Before then, it was Mithraism and many other Babylonian and Medo-Persian religions. And they did the same things as Isaiah tells us here. They made their own idols. They made their own gods. They tried to devise their own way of pleasing themselves, their own conscience, to feel better of their guilt. And we see throughout the scriptures how man does this. But I was raised in a Zoroastrian family. Zoroastrianism is a religion that is a mixture of Babylonian religions, worship of fire and the sun. And they have many, many rituals and practices that I used to be involved with. I remember of going from when you are very, very young. When I was very young, I would go to fire temple and burning incense and reciting prayers from our prayer book. And we thought that we were worshiping God. We did it sincerely, but it was all false. From our own imagination, we created that God within us. And I remember of going to different sites and pilgrimages, and the same thing, we sacrificed every year so that God would be pleased and would bless us. And we would pray to idols. We had images everywhere. I have brought a couple of books with me with some pictures. You can see later on if you like to. I can show you pictures of where it is claimed where Daniel's tomb is, and Mordecai and Esther's tomb, and other things, and Zoroastrian fire temples, and these other places, and Cyrus's palace and his tomb. But at the same time as being raised in that Zoroastrian family, which we were quite religious, I went to an Islamic school, because there are very few places which they have Zoroastrian schools for children. So I went to Islamic school, and I never told anybody that I was a Zoroastrian and I wasn't a Muslim. So they were, I joined them in their prayer meetings. Did everything they did. I went to their religious classes. I learned my Quran and could recite it for my teachers, until some years later they found out and I had to leave. I personally thought that was their religion. I had my religion, and we both worshipped the same God. Just we approached him in a different way, and everybody was fine. We were all good people, and we had all one aim, and we were all going to be in heaven afterwards. I did believe that there was a hell, but I thought I wasn't bad enough to go to hell. I thought I was generally a good person. Same with my family. If you ask my father, at the present time, he says the same thing. No difference. So that was my time in Iran. I came over to England when I was about 13. It was about 10 years ago. And we came over to England, and our view of the West was everybody was Christian. And so we had this attitude. Everybody believed in God, at least. But soon after we arrived, that was all demolished. Our idea was wrong. We realized many people would wear religious items as jewelry, wearing crosses, and we thought those must be the most religious ones. But we soon found that it was just a fashion item. It was not true. And soon we found, to our amazement, that how many people didn't even believe in God. But we were proud of ourselves. We thought we had, we claimed that we had the oldest religion, and our Zoroastrianism goes back to, they claim, 1600 or so BC. And we were very proud. My family are still very proud, and they tell me, why have I changed, and wasn't it good to be a Zoroastrian? But it wasn't until I went to college, I met some friends who, they told me they were Christians, and I never met anyone who would want to talk about Christianity. And so I started talking to them, and soon I found out that they were telling me there is only one way of salvation, which didn't go down well with me, because I thought everyone was in the same road, or approaching the same God from different roads. And so I started arguing with them. I started fighting, and sometimes I win a fight, sometimes I lose a fight. Most of the time I would lose my fights, because they would come again and again and tell me of sin and how God does not accept sinners into heaven. If we go by our own sin, with our sins, God will reject us and we shall be cast into hell. And that really offended me. I counted myself as a good person. I counted myself as someone who didn't kill anybody. I thought, if I was a murderer, then that would be fine. But I said, I have not killed anybody. I have not stolen anything very big. I have not lied big lies. But they told me how Christ says, if you're angry with your brother, you have already committed murder in your heart. You have already, in God's eyes, you are a murderer. Then they told me that how, if I lust in my heart, it's as if I have committed adultery. And those things haunted me for many, many days and weeks. I could try to ease my conscience. I would pray more, but these things were always on my mind. And they told me that only Christ could take my sin. Only it is by His finished work that I could be accepted in the sight of God. So I met these people who were real Christians. I have to say that the church that they went to did not preach the gospel, which they invited me to go, and I went. But those people told me the truth. They told me of my nature and sinful nature, and they told me of the Savior. And I remember they invited me to different things. I went, and my parents at the beginning were happy. They said, well, it's a Christian country. You need to learn a little about Christianity so you can communicate better and understand them, what they're talking about. So they were happy. But when I continued going to all these meetings and continued going to this friend's house, after a few weeks, they got worried, and I had to make excuses after that for months. And it was during this time that they gave me a Bible. They said, read the Bible, this is God's word, and you can read about Christ. Because the Christ that I knew in Iran, he is represented as a different man. They tell us that he was only a man. He didn't die on the cross. It was just the illusion. People thought he had died on the cross, but God changed him for someone else. And so the Christians are not right. This was for the first time I was reading the words of Christ in this Bible. And I remember my family were not happy. I remember I used to read it late at night and hide my Bible because I was too scared they would steal it away and they wouldn't give it me back. So But I started reading from right from the beginning. I thought I might as well start, and they told me at the beginning, no, you better start from all the Gospels. But I said, no, I want to know what happened in the beginning. And so I read Genesis. I read how man sinned, how he fell. And that again brought conviction to myself that how I am a sinner as well. How, like Adam, I sin. And I thought to myself, he only ate of a fruit of the tree. He didn't do anything bad. That's what I thought then. But as I read through the Bible, I realized how sin was sinful to God. The sinfulness of sin. The nature of God, how He is holy and just. He cannot have anything to do with sin. How sin and God are opposite. And so I read of the fall of man, and I saw myself as one of Adam's children, as sinner in their step. And these words of my friends about my need of Savior kept coming into my mind, and I was convicted. Well, I remember reading a few chapters of Exodus afterwards, but I wasn't very keen at the time to read through. So I jumped over to one of the Gospels. So I started reading John's Gospel, and from the beginning of it, I felt that the Lord was talking to me. A lot of my questions were answered. And the more I read, the more I realized of my own sinfulness, the more I saw of Christ and how He saved sinners and how He healed the sick. And these, I remembered of my own past, how I worshipped God, who I thought I had made my own God in my own heart. I made my God was a God that accepted those who sinned. And in that way, I had my own idol. I worshipped my own idol. But by reading the scriptures, the Word of God showed me who true God is. And I remember of reading a passage in John and chapter 14. This is after some time that the Lord was dealing with me, and I was reading through John 14, and it is that famous I am words of Christ that He says to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And at that moment I remember the words that we used to recite, the prayers that we used to recite back in Iran, in the fire temples. There was a saying, there was a prayer that we would recite over and over again, that the more you recited it and repeated it, the more you're supposed to get more blessings. And that was this: there is only one way, and that is the truth. And we were waiting, finding that truth. Where was this truth? Where could this truth be found? And here is Christ is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord there dealt with me. And I knelt that night at midnight, and I repented of my sins. I realized who Christ was and what He had done for me in my place. And I was saved at that time, about 5 years ago now it is. And since then the Lord has shown me more and more from His Word. And about 2 years ago, through reading the scriptures and the circumstances that happened, I felt that the Lord was calling me into full-time ministry for Himself. Doors were open for translation work with the Trinitarian Bible Society, and a few weeks ago I managed to finish the revision of the Farsi John's Gospel. which, Lord willing, they will be publishing soon, and it can be used for evangelism work. And but still, my family, none of them are saved. They are so ashamed of the fact that I have become Christian, and they don't even tell any of my family back in Iran. They, but I believe that the Lord is able, and He is an Almighty God, and He can save them. I was so stubborn at heart, but He dealt with me. He changed my heart of stone for a heart of flesh. And I wonder now, I have come to Northern Ireland, and I have seen so many people, so many Christians, but again, I have seen so many who, it seems they go to church, but there is so much coldness. It's as if they don't know the Lord. And I pray that if you have, you do not know the Lord, your heart is a stone, and you know it in yourself, that the Lord might deal with you today, that He would draw you to Himself. We cannot stir ourselves up or try by our emotions to get close with God. It is the Lord who deals with us. It was the Lord who called me like Lazarus out of the tomb. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but Christ was the one who called me out. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I want you to turn to that passage if you have not turned to it, John 14. And I want you to look at some of the verses with me. I read some verses from there. I want to share with you some thoughts before I leave. John chapter 14 and verse 6. From the beginning till end of verse 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. So, here we see the exclusive claims of Christ about Himself. How He claims, and He shows that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And no man can come to the Father, no man can approach God except through the Son. And I wonder if there are people here today that might think for themselves that there are other ways to God. There are other ways that we can go to heaven. You might also have your own idol. And you might also think to yourself that you are not that bad. You have not broken that many laws, and God will accept you. And you don't really need Christ. You might come to church and you might think to yourself, well, I learned some good moral things from there and good teachings, and I can use some of them in my own life, but you are rejecting God. And I want you to see Christ, how He makes exclusive claims. He says, I am the only way. So in the first place, let's look at that first clause, I am the way. How He shows that He is the only way of access to God. Here, Christ is talking to His own disciples and about what should be their route to heaven and the way of access to God the Father. So he says to Thomas, I am the way. That means I am the way by which all those people who are going to go to heaven will get to heaven. What does it mean here by the way? Here, firstly, I want to say to you, he's the way because of his doctrine, by his doctrine that he taught. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, we read that, Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That was in John 6 and 68. Peter knew that Christ was the way. He said, To whom shall we go? There is no one else. Also, Christ shows us that he is the way because of his example. In 1 Peter and chapter 2, verse 21, we read, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He is the way because of, by his example to us. And also he is the way by his suffering. His sufferings both while he was on earth and on the cross. By his holy and sinless life, he fulfilled the law of God perfectly. That is why when a sinner is saved, their sins are removed and washed clean. Because Christ has lived a perfect life. So, Jesus Christ is the only way of access to God. He is not just the way in a philosophical way. We are not saved by a principle or by a system of belief and some sort of philosophy of life. Like the worldly wise man of Pilgrim's Progress. He thought he knew better. He planned his own life. He knew everything about the world and what there was to know. And he tried to give some advice to the Christian. But we are not saved by a sort of system of belief. But we are saved by the person of Jesus Christ. He in himself is the way. For example, in the schools, when we use pencils and pens and we use blackboards and chalk, but we are not educated by them. Those are the means of our education. We are educated by the teacher. And the same way, all these are the means, but Christ is the way. It's like we at home, the child is raised by the parents. So also, the means of access to the Father is the Son. And in the second place, where we read that, he says, I am the way, the truth. I am the truth. What does it mean by this? Christ is saying, I am the truth, in opposition to falsehood, in opposition to lies. As I mentioned to you, I was living and worshipping a false god, a lie, a god that people have made up themselves. And so, that was a lie. And the word of God, which is the truth of God, shows us who God is. What are his attributes? How should he be worshipped? In purity. How he has said for us in his word. We should worship him. We should not add anything to it, or we would make an idol of our own God. So here, Christ is setting himself as opposition, as against the lie. And he is the truth personified. He himself is the truth. He is not representing truth. He says, I am the way, the truth. Here, in a technical way, I want to go a little deeper and show he uses the definite article, the. There is no other way. Only Christ. He says, I am the way. He doesn't say that the truth is a characteristic of me or something that represents me, but I myself am the truth. And so, I mentioned to you that how in Genesis Adam fell. Why did he fall? Because he believed the lie of the devil. And since then, man has been searching and groping around and in the middle of ignorance and error. And they've engineered a thousand systems of belief. And as it is written in the book of Ezekiel and chapter 7 and verse 29, God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And Christ reveals us God. He shows us God and also exposes man for who he is. And this is what he does for every Christian. He shows us for who we really are at the time when we are saved. He shows us our sinfulness. He shows us that how we are dead in ourselves. If any man makes a mistake about Christ and who he really is, then the rest of their belief worth nothing. They are in error. So, what a foolish thing it is to ignore Christ. With these claims that he makes, exclusive claims of Christ about himself, what use is it to you if you know all sciences of the world? If you know all the history of the world, and you can tell me, I don't really know anything of the history of the Ulster to my ignorance, but you can tell me everything that happened here. What is that? What's the use of it if you are found in hell? Rejection of Christ. Then in my final point of the third thing that Christ says to us, that the truth, the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The whole Bible bears solemn witness to the fact that the natural man is spiritually dead. If you are not a Christian, you walk according to the world and its standards. You have no love for the things of God in yourself. The fear of God is not upon you. You might show in an outward fashion, but your heart is far from him. You do not give him any glory at all. You live for yourself like any non-Christian. They live for themselves. I lived for myself when I was not saved. I believed in my own way of salvation. I tried to please myself at the end of it. I was my own God. And that's the way of a person who does not believe in Christ. The one who is not saved. Self is the center and all that you live for. You are alive to the things of the world, but are dead to anything that is heavenly. When the prodigal son returned from the place that he was, from the far country, the father said, what did he say? This, my son, was dead and is alive. He is alive again. He was lost and he is found. The one who believes in Christ has passed out of death into life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, the Bible tells us. So, then you have to turn to Christ. He claims and he makes the statement here that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And Christ is the living way to God, as he is also the truth. He is living truth. He is active. He takes hold of the life of a person who he is dealing with, and he changes them. He doesn't go halfway. He deals with a man who he is working with. There isn't any person who Christ deals with and the person can reject the work of God in them. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so, here I've tried to show you of something, some thoughts of these words of Christ, that how he makes himself to be himself the way. He is the truth. There is no other way, friends. We can go and try our best to find any other way, but the only way is in Christ to the Father. The only way of access to God is through Christ. I want to give you a quote from John Calvin, the great reformer. What his thoughts was about this verse, and he sums it up like this. He says, "If any man turn aside from Christ, he will do nothing else but go astray. If any man do not rest on him, he will feed elsewhere or not on nothing but wind and vanity. If any man not satisfied with him alone wishes to go further, he will find death instead of life." And so, friends, may the Lord bless these words to you. May he be pleased to turn you to himself. Show your wickedness. But also for Christians, we read earlier on in the verses how he has gone away. He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, the scripture says. But here, there is something special. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I have to say that Christ will make us all, will prepare us also for that place. He will never leave us by ourselves. That is why he has sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who deals with us, works in our lives and convicts us. And friends, if you know the Lord and you know your situation, maybe you have left thoughts of Christ. You have left reading your Bibles because of some situation. I pray that the Lord will bring you back. Bring you back to the way and the truth and life. May the Lord bless these words to us, I pray. Let us end by a word of prayer to the Lord.